Amen. Truly, he is worthy to be praised, especially a right now praise. Amen. Giving all praises to God, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryan, to Deacon Andrew Harrison, to the deacons, trustees, officers, members, and to the voices of praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Not only can they sing, not only can they play instruments, but I found us that our drummer is also a squirrel hunter. He wasn't scared. I was like, he go that way, I'm going this way. But he wasn't scared. So we thank him for his bravery on this Sunday morning. We are grateful for this Sunday. The Lord has blessed us. We know that we're coming to the end of our year, and we plan for a church annual meeting on Wednesday, so we do look forward to seeing the members on Wednesday night so that we can see what the Lord is doing and we can go in the way that the Lord will carry us in order to strengthen us on our journey after church. So immediately following service in the fellowship hall, we have a special treat. Brother Alexander is preparing a little heftier meal than cookies and punch. Amen. That's all I'm saying. So follow service, if you would, join us in the fellowship hall for that pre-Christmas blessing. This month of December, we have been using the theme December to Remember, Christ in Christmas. That in the midst of all that's going on in the world, in our families, and even in our own bodies, this December is a great time to remember Christ in Christmas. We've been drawing from the passage of Matthew, found in Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And last week we talked about a star in the east. And as the church today, the modern church, Ebenezer, as we stand in East Austin, we're called to be a star witness for Christ, that we are to share our testimony of his goodness and his mercy. Today we want to look at the other side of the ledger, another character in this Matthew chapter 2 passage. If you would, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, by the inspiration of God and by the pen of Matthew, these words are recorded. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We read into your hearing Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We ask that there be a blessing to God's word. This morning, we want to tag this text simply, Herod the Grinch. Herod the Grinch. Every year, we watch a story, a character. We're told that his heart is two sizes too small. But every year he comes out as one of the villains of the Christmas story. There are many villains in the Christmas story that we are told. We're told about other characters who had a negative desire about Christmas. They didn't see Christmas as a joyous occasion. They didn't see Christmas as an opportunity to draw closer to your family. They didn't see Christmas as giving and receiving love from one another. No, they saw Christmas in a different light. You remember Mr. Potter from the story, It's a Wonderful Life. He's the mean banker in the story, the one that is always keeping trouble. Yet he is not the original Grinch. Perhaps you're familiar with the story of the Scrooge. The Scrooge is the hardworking man, and he's domineering over the weak, humble man. But yet in most of those stories, the villain has a change of heart. But when we come to the original Grinch, when we come to Herod, the OG of Grinches, when we come to Herod the King, we find that his heart never did change. His heart remained hard. His heart remained against God. He continued to have a heart problem. You see, Herod's heart problem began with his definition of great. History called Herod the Great. Yes, in his day and time, Herod was viewed as a great king. You see, when you look at it from Herod's point of view, I can see why he can come to that conclusion. See, if your life is based on titles, if your life is based on position, if your life is based on power, then yes, you can see why Herod could make that mistake. Yes, Herod thought he was great because he had a great title. He thought he was great because he held a great position. He thought he was great because he stood above other people. You see, Herod's definition of great was ruling over people. And Herod, he was great because as he ruled people, he began to develop a lot of projects. He built theaters, amphitheaters. He built temples, and he even helped construct the temple in Jerusalem. When Jesus says, if you tear down this temple and I'll build it up in 3 days, he was referring to the temple that Herod had built. For you see, Herod thought he was the king of the Jews. And so when he heard this report of these wise men of a star, he had a problem because he had a bad definition of what it means to be great. You see, for Herod, to be great means to be one and only. To be great is to get all the credit and share it with no one else. To be great is to dismiss people and work on solely projects. Yes, he had a bad definition of great. Because when you compare his definition to Jesus' definition, Jesus' definition of greatness is if you want to be great, be a servant of all. If you want to be great, don't worry about titles. Don't worry about position. Just serve others and you will be great. Just think about it. Herod the great king, king of the Jews. He is even dated by Jesus, who had no man-made titles. He had no palace. He had no throne. He had no title, but yet he is the greatest of them all. Yes, yes, Herod made the mistake of having a bad definition of greatness. And don't you know a lot of people have that same bad definition? Oh, yeah, people today think it's all in titles. It's think it's about getting in the pride position. If you can get the right title, right position, I know it's true because as soon as I became pastor of Ebenezer, folk just told me, well, you now in the pastor. I'm like, well, I ain't got no special dust. What you talking about? It ain't in the title, people. It ain't in the position. It is in serving other people. You see, Herod thought his kingship was based on his force. He thought it was based on his power, how he could rule other people. Yes, he had a heart problem. Not only did Herod have a heart problem, but Herod also had an eye problem. For you see, Herod had an overinflated view of himself. Herod's pride blinded him to the reality of the divinity of the king and made an infant into a political threat. Herod had an eye problem. He overinflated his view of himself. He thought too much of himself. He thought that the world couldn't make it without him. He thought that the world was a better place because he was in it, and it'll be a worse place if he was out of it. That's the reason why he didn't like any threats. You know, this story that is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew concerning Herod and his threat on the children is not recorded in extra outside biblical material, but is not refuted. Because his reputation was so horrible, if he did or didn't do it, other people believed that he was capable of doing it. It didn't shock anybody that he would order the murder of children. The reason is because he had already gave the order for the murder of his wife and his own sons. Now, before you get too squeamish, it was a political marriage. And he did marry her simply to get her father's kingdom. But once she started having male children, she didn't try to build up the kingdom of Herod. She started trying to build up her father's kingdom. And so Herod saw her as a threat because Herod saw himself as number one. Herod thought that he was the best solution for the Jews. For you see, Herod stood in between. Herod said, I'm the king of the Jews, and was proud of it. And he felt that he defended the Jews from the Romans. You see, he thought the biggest threat to Judaism was the Romans. And so he would set up defenses so he could protect them against the Roman invasion. You see, Rome didn't think much of Judaism. Didn't think much of the Jews, didn't think much of Jerusalem, just thought they were a backwoods people with a backwoods religion and thought nothing much about them. But Herod felt like he was a defender of the Jews. And this is where Herod had an eye problem. See, Herod thought it was all about him. He thought it was his job to protect God's people. But I come by today to tell you that God never delegated that job. God is still the protector of his people. God is still the Lord. He's still the life. He's still the salvation of his people. God is still the one who guides. He's still the one that comforts. He's still the one that cares for his people. Yes, Herod's problem was that he saw himself in a bigger role than God had him in. And don't you know that happens to us sometimes? Oh, we can have an eye problem. We have a problem seeing other people's point of view. We have a problem seeing other people's angles, other people's history, other people's ideas. We can have an eye problem, but I know one who's able to give sight to the blind. I know one who's able to perform eye surgery. On a blind man, he put mud and he came out seeing. On one man, he made mud with spit and he came out seeing. Surely he can clear up our vision so that we can see not what's in it for us, but how God can use us in these times. Yes, Herod had a bad eye problem, and it caused him to be blasphemous. It caused him to scheme. It caused him to plot. He saw a threat everywhere. Everybody was the enemy. Everybody was a threat. Everybody was a problem. And that's the problem with the eye problem. Not only is it a seeing problem, not only is it a personality problem, but it begins to affect the community around you. You can't keep an eye problem to yourself. Simply put, if you start seeing wrong, other people will start seeing wrong. If you start seeing wrong, then other people will never have the opportunity to see right. Herod's eye problem caused other people to miss out on seeing the Lord. Not only did Herod have a heart problem, not only did he have an eye problem, but thirdly, Herod had a head problem. He had a bad understanding of the Christ child. Herod's flawed heart and his ego prevented him from applying clear scripture truth to the situation right in front of him. He had the ability, he had the word of God. He called on the chief priests of the people and they gave him the word of God. The Christ child will be born in Bethlehem of Judea. They gave him the prophecy. And what did Herod do? He began to scheme. He began to plot. He began to devise a murderous plot in order to eliminate the Christ child because he did not understand the Christ child. See, so many people misunderstand Christ with Christians. You know, Gandhi made that mistake. Gandhi said he would have been Christian if it wasn't for Christians. He said the witness of Christians was the reason why. And if I had the opportunity to talk to Gandhi, I would tell Gandhi, not a Christian died for you. A Christian didn't die for you. A Christian didn't hang on the cross from you. A Christian didn't be buried for you. A Christian wasn't raised on the third. It was Christ that died for our sins. Don't stop looking at Christians. You better look to Christ. You got to get an understanding of the Christ child. You know, a lot of people see him as a threat, see him as a rival, especially if he's in your life, not in their life. That's why they always start throwing up stuff where you're supposed to be. You know, you're supposed to be a Christian, or you're supposed to be this, or you're supposed to be that. And brothers and sisters, I come by today to tell you, I'm trying. Some days are better than other days, but every day I wake up and I say, Lord, let me try. Let me be a better person today than I was yesterday. But every night, I got to pray, Lord, forgive me for the mistakes I made along the way. Forgive me for trying to do it myself without consulting with you. Forgive me for putting my hand in it without consulting with you. Forgive me for thinking that I can handle it. Many of us, we have a bad understanding of the Christ child. Herod saw the Christ child as a political rival, one who should merely be removed and eliminated. He failed to recognize that the humble arrival of the Lord was to be worshipped. Like the Magi that came and told them, we saw his star in the east so that we may come to worship him. Herod, upon receiving the information from the chief priest, he lied, straight up lied, told the Magi, go and find him and send me word so that I too can come and worship him. See, it's something demonic about that. It's something wrong about that. The use of scripture in that way. There's only two people in the Bible that ever use scripture in a wrong or an evil way, a selfish way. One is Herod, and the other in the Old Testament was Jezebel. Jezebel used the law to steal a man's land. Herod is using prophecy in order to find the Christ child so that he might eliminate them. And when was the last time you seen a baby Herod? When was the last time you seen a baby Jezebel? When was the last time somebody in your family named their child after Herod? When was the last time somebody named their baby girl Jezebel? Those names have gone down in history as being evil and wicked, and in both instances, they misuse scripture. Scripture is not to be used to hurt anybody. It is to use to help people. It is to use to guide people. It's to use to show them the way. If they refuse, that's on them and God. You're going to have to settle up with God at the end of the day. You're going to have to make amends with God at the end of the day. And Herod used the scripture in a devilish plot to catch the Messiah. And brothers and sisters, he had a bad understanding. He had a bad head, he had a bad eyes, and he had a bad heart. Herod was bad all over. He was bad on the inside. He was bad on the outside. He was bad with his friends, and he was bad with his enemies. Herod was the real original Grinch. He was the one who really tried to steal Christmas. He was the one that tried to eliminate the Christ child. No, Christmas ain't about ribbons. No, it's not about tags, it's not about packages, and it's not about boxes. But Christmas is about Jesus Christ, who came born of a woman. He came of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, in a manger. It's about Christ in Christmas. And we come in this place not to be like Herod, but to be like the wise men. We seek the child so that we might worship him. We seek him so that we may bow down before him. We seek him because we are thankful that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't give him as a grown man. He gave him as an infant. And we can rejoice. Even in the life that we live, even in the time that we live, even in the political system, even in the economic system, all these systems, we still have Christ. With Christ, all things are possible. God defeated Herod the Great simply by speaking to both the wise men and the Joseph. Spoken. Used his words. Spoke to him. Communicated to the wise men. Return another way. So Herod didn't find out where the child was born. Even though he knew the city. Knew it was in Bethlehem. And now Bethlehem was kind of like Round Rock. It wasn't that many folk in Bethlehem. You could. You know, Matthew calls it a massacre. You know, he massacred the children. Yeah, he killed about 4 or 5 babies. That's bad enough. I'm not saying that's not bad. But I don't know if you can classify that as a massacre. Because Bethlehem is simply not that big. And so Herod had all the information. He had the same information most of us have. And he rejected the Christ child. He chose to go away. He chose destruction. He chose violence. But you and I, in this Christmas, in this Advent, we have the opportunity to accept him afresh, to accept him anew, to accept him on this day, on this time, accept him as the child Christ, as the Christ child whom God has sent for the sins of the world. Don't be a Grinch. Be a worshiper. May God bless you and may God keep you today. We invite you to come this morning to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You don't have to have a speech. You don't have to have the right words. You just have to have a willing heart to come to the Lord right now. As the deacons and the ushers and the greeters come, we invite you to take that step. And if you're already saved, you already have a relationship with the Lord, but you don't have a church home, we invite you to Ebenezer. Ebenezer is a wonderful place to go to heaven from. We believe in trusting the Lord. Will you come? Will you come? If you already have a relationship with a church and you're separated and looking for watch care, we want you to know that we will watch over your soul. We invite you to come as the choir sings. Make up your mind. Make that decision. Will you come?
Jesus is the answer, yes, for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Help me say,
Jesus is the answer.
In the corners of your mind, and traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of the old past seem to fade away, but there's one thing that I do know, that Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the answer.
He's the answer
for the world today. Above him there's no other.
Jesus
is the
way.
Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer,
is the answer
for the world today.
Say
above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Jesus
is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
There's nobody greater, nobody nowhere.
Jesus is the way.
If you got some questions, he's the way.
Jesus is the way.
He's the solution, just give him a chance.
Jesus is the way.
Say Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Say Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Amen, amen. It was ours to extend. It was yours to accept. We ask that the Lord will bless us richly.